Well, it was last January when an Oklahoma girl named Anastasia Freeman, she showed up to audition for season 12 of American Idol. Then, after butchering her favorite song with scores of sour notes, poor projection, and what I would call a complete lack of rhythm, one of the judges, you might know him, his name is Randy, he decided to ask her if someone had encouraged her to try out for American Idol. Many might think that it was a parent, her mom, her dad, or a brother, or a sister, or a cousin. Maybe you would think that some friend encouraged her to go try out. But much to the surprise of a national audience, Anastasia, she responded by assuring the judges that God told her to audition for American Idol. Now, despite her complete lack of talent, Anastasia claimed that she was only being obedient to the voice of God. I would assume that if God was going to call someone to go audition for American Idol, that he'd also give them the talent that they needed to win. And if you think that's just being too harsh, then I just have to tell you that there's a lot of people who think that they hear from God, and they think that they're doing something that God told them to do, but listen, we all don't believe it. It doesn't look like God told you to do that because he didn't gift you to accomplish the calling. It's in similar fashion that June 2011, a Connecticut man named Levon Sarkisian, he also claimed to have heard the call of God. But rather than going and being told to audition for American Idol, Levon told police that a light from above told him to go and kick in the front door of a Farmington house so that he could destroy all of the statues inside. Now, he was there when the homeowners returned, and they found Levon there in their house, which had been ransacked, and they wanted to know what was going on, of course, and so Levon promptly assured them that he meant them no harm. He told them, hey, God sent me here to help the world one house at a time. Clearly, God had not called Levon to this act of vandalism. And listen, if this isn't weird enough for you, then wait till you hear about what happened to me the other day. I have a personal story of the same nature. You see, when I got home from work last week, I drove up into my driveway and I found this short, chubby, bald guy wearing a pink leotard jumping on a pogo stick in my driveway. And as I got closer, I saw, hey, that's Jeremy. So I got out of my FJ Cruiser and I asked Jeremy, hey, what are you doing at my house jumping on a pogo stick? And he began to explain that God told him that he needed to go bungee jumping there at my house. So I asked him, hey, well, what's up with the pink leotard and the tutu? And he said, what, this whole thing? Now, in light of these true stories, it should be obvious to us here that not every person who claims to have been sent by God actually was. There are many who claim to have been sent by God, claim to have heard God's calling, and yet God never said a word to them. And while these delusional people are clearly confused, I think that it's more common for us to find confused Christians. What do I mean by that? Well, I think that it's more common to find confused Christians who actually have been called by God, and yet they're unwilling to step up and declare, here I am, God, send me. It's not hard to find people who think they've heard from God and are willing to go out on what they think is God's calling. We find those people, it's true. But how many more Christians are there who are sitting back, knowing that God is calling them, and refusing to step out, refusing to move forward? But this is our focus. I want to spend the next 30 minutes considering how every Christian should become a believer who can honestly say, here I am, Lord, send me. But this is our focus. I'd like to open our Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 3. And there in 1 Samuel 3, I want to consider how every Christian has been called to become a believer who is ready to declare, "Here I am, Lord." And here in our text today, we're going to discover, number one, how we become "Here I am" believers by first respecting God's word. Secondly, we're going to consider how we become "Here I am" believers by receiving God's word. And finally, this evening, we're going to consider how we become "Here I am" believers by responding to God's word in obedience. And so with this as our outline, let's turn our attention to God's word. I want to begin there at 1 Samuel 3. Let's look there at verse 1, because there we learn that the boy Samuel ministered to the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no widespread revelation. Now let's just stop right here, because as we begin to explore this chapter, as we begin to dig into these verses, we must first understand the spiritual climate of Israel during this period of time, because the spiritual climate during this period of time, it wasn't healthy. And I should point out that the prophet Samuel, he was born during a time when every man was doing whatever was right in their own eyes. That's what the book of Judges tells us. Every person was just doing whatever they felt like doing. Whatever they wanted to do, that's what they did. In other words, the moral compass of every person, well, it was much like the compass that Jack Sparrow had in the Pirates of the Caribbean. You see, his compass just pointed to whatever he desired. His compass just pointed in the direction of his greatest desire. And so, therefore, it wasn't a very good compass at all. It certainly didn't point to due north. In similar fashion, the moral compass of every person during this period of time when Samuel was growing up, their moral compass was broken. It was just pointing to whatever they desired. Whatever they wanted, well, that's where their compass pointed. And even worse, many of them, I'm sure, were saying, "Hey, this is what God wants. This is what I feel like I want. This must be what God wants for me." Well, here in verse 1, we're presented with the reason for this carnal climate there in Israel. If you would notice again there in verse 1, there we learn that the boy Samuel ministered to the Lord before Eli. And this was happening there at the tabernacle. And while Samuel was there at the tabernacle growing up, we also learn there in this verse that the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no widespread revelation. As we consider this verse, we see that this young Samuel, he was spiritually growing there at the tabernacle, but the rest of the nation was in a state of spiritual rebellion because the word of the Lord was rare in those days. But now, what does it mean to say that the word of the Lord was rare? Why is it that there was no widespread revelation during this period of time? Well, it'll help us to understand here that the word rare, it refers to the high value of precious stones and splendid jewels. At the same time, it also refers to the fact that these gems are highly valued because they're rarely found. They're highly valued because they're rarely found. For example, it was a couple of weeks ago that me and a couple of friends, we went mountain biking at Rocky Hill Ranch. Just as the name suggests, the ground is covered with weathered dirty rocks. And as I rode over thousands and thousands and thousands of rocks, even falling into some of them, you know, not once did I ever stop because I saw a diamond. I didn't once see an expensive emerald. I didn't see one sapphire. There wasn't one rare ruby in all of these rocks. No, they were just a bunch of common, dirty rocks. The expensive rocks, those rare gems, they're rare because you just don't find them sitting in a clump of dirty rocks. From this, I'd like to suggest that one reason why the Word of God was as uncommon as a precious gem there at Rocky Hill Ranch, well, it could be due to the fact that there was no widespread revelation during this time. Or in other words, there was no prophet of God actively presenting the word of God to the people of God. And the prophet of God wasn't speaking the word of God to the people of God because the people, they weren't listening. They didn't care what God had to say. And the reason why I know this is because they already had the word of God. They had at least Genesis through Joshua. They had at least those books. And they could have been poring over these scriptures every day to see what God's word said, but they didn't care. They didn't care. So the word of God was rare in the sense that you wouldn't just walk into someone's house and find someone reading the Bible. You wouldn't go down to McDavid's and find people, you know, eating and reading the Bible at the same time. Rather than referring to the written revelation that they had available to them, these people, they just threw off all restraint. And they just lived according to their own desires. They just did whatever they wanted to do. This really just goes to show that the people of God had no respect for the written word of God. Now, they didn't get it. They didn't understand that they needed to spend time respecting God's word and reading what it says. They didn't get it. But we here this evening, we must understand that God's written word, it actually deserves our highest level of respect. And in order to show you how I know this, if you would hold your place here in 1 Samuel and turn with me to Psalms chapter 138. As you turn to the 138th Psalm, we should consider how the written word of God is based on the revelation of God. And you might think about it like this. When the revelation of God, which of course comes from the mind of God, when the revelation of God, which is from the mind of God, is revealed to the people of God through the prophet of God, we end up with the word of God. And with that being the case, we must understand that the written word of God, it's the clearest available expression of God's mind. And people will say, well, let's not put God in a box. Well, if God's already put himself in his own box, let's just respect what he said. How about that? If God's already presented his definition of who he is in the word of God, then we would do well to go to that word and go to that definition and allow God to define himself. And that's what he's done with the word of God. He's revealed the mind of God to us through the prophet of God so that the people of God can know him. What this means is that God's word is a critical key for getting to know the invisible God of heaven and earth. And what this means for us is this, that God's word, it deserves our highest level of respect. Now, with this in mind, consider the words of King David found here in Psalm 138. I want to begin reading there at verse 1 because there David declares, I will praise you with my whole heart before the gods. I will sing praises to you. I will worship toward your holy temple and praise your name for your loving kindness and your truth. For you have magnified your word above all your name. Now, as we consider what David is saying here, follow me because listen. If the Lord expects us to have reverential respect for his name, and he does, he commands us to not take his name in vain. And so the Lord has called us to respect his name. And yet here David tells us that the Lord has magnified his word above his name. And so if God expects us to respect his name and magnifies his word above his name, how much more respect should we have for his word than we do for his name? How many of us will do our best to refrain from taking God's name in vain because we respect it, and yet not once in the day will we open up his word and read it? If the Lord has magnified his word even above his name, then we ought to have even more respect for his word than we even do for his name. Without debate, we should have the highest level of respect for the word of God. And in order to grasp the sort of respect that we ought to have for God's word, continue holding your place there in 1 Samuel. Turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3. As you're turning to 2 Timothy 3, I want to point out that before a believer can truly say, here I am, Lord, send me, use me, do with me what you will, before we can actually honestly say that, we must first become Christians who are respectfully placing the Word of God above every other word. We must place a respect for the Word of God. We must have this respect for God's Word more so than the Word of our spouse. We need to have more respect for God's Word than we have for the Word of our employer. We need to have more respect for the Word of God than we have for our own opinions. And the reason why is because God's Word is the basis and the standard for everything that is right. Now, with this in mind, if you would look with me there at 2 Timothy 3, there Paul told Timothy that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. In other words, according to Paul here, God's Word was given to us so that believers could become equipped and prepared to accomplish every good work. And so whatever God is going to call you to do, the thing that you need is God's Word. You need all Scripture so that you can be equipped and prepared to accomplish His calling. But listen, the only way that we're actually going to spend the time that we need to spend getting equipped in God's Word is by first developing a high level of respect for God's Word. We have to place God's Word above every other word, above every other book. And I can't even tell you how many times I've heard even pastors pointing to some book, some extra biblical book, and saying, well, that's the book that you got to get. This is the book that's going to help you to understand the Bible. And wait. God's Word is what we need. And I'm not suggesting that all these other books should be off limits. No, you know, by all means, if you have time to read a bunch of books, read all the books that you want, but you better make sure that you're in God's Word. Because God's Word is what actually equips us and prepares us to accomplish His calling. But before we're even going to care to open His Word, we have to respect it. We have to see it as the standard of truth, and we have to respect it enough to say that whatever happens in my day, spending time in this book is more important than anything else. Is that your opinion tonight? Do you believe that spending time in God's Word is more important than anything else in your day? Because if not, you don't respect it enough. God's Word deserves the highest level of respect that we can give. Now, with all this in mind, I have to ask, is the Word of God like a rare gem in your life? Meaning that it's rarely found. Is the Word of God like a rare gem in your life? Meaning that you rarely read it? If so, then I challenge you to repent this evening. I challenge you to repent and ask the Lord to forgive you. And ask Him to give you a passionate respect for His Word so that you can become a here I am believer who is getting equipped by the Scriptures that God has given us. Because His Word has been given to us so that we can be equipped and prepared to accomplish every good work. And listen, here I am believers not only respect God's Word, but here I am believers are also able to receive the instructions that are presented from God's Word. And this is our focus. Let's turn back to 1 Samuel chapter 3. I want to begin reading again there at verse 1. There we learn that the boy Samuel ministered to the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no widespread revelation. And it came to pass at that time, while Eli was lying down in his place, and when his eyes had begun to grow so dim that he could not see, and before the lamp of God went out in the tabernacle of the Lord where the ark of God was, and while Samuel was lying down, that the Lord called Samuel. And he answered, "Here I am." So he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." And he said, "I did not call. Lie down again." And he went and lay down. Then the Lord called yet again, "Samuel." So Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." He answered, "I did not call, my son. Lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, nor was the word of the Lord yet revealed to him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time, so he arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you did call me." Then Eli perceived that the Lord had called the boy. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, "Go lie down, and it shall be, if he calls you, that you must say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant hears.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Now let's stop here and consider how here in these verses we find Samuel's first real encounter with God as the Lord spoke to him one evening. And while young Samuel thought that it was Eli who was calling him, Eli had the discernment to understand that it was actually the Lord who was calling him. Eli grasped the fact that it was the Lord speaking to him. And after the third time, he encouraged Samuel to just go back and wait for the Lord to speak again so that he might hear and receive the word of God. He told him to go back and wait for the word of the Lord so that he could hear what the Lord had to say and so that he could receive what God was telling him. Now, from this, I must quickly point out that a person can hear God's word without actually receiving God's word. It happens all the time. I'm guessing that it happens often on Sundays here at Calvary South Austin. It happens on Wednesdays. It happens as we open God's word and see what it says. And yeah, we hear it, just don't want to receive it. We hear it, but we don't want to receive it because it challenges something that we've decided to do. We don't want to give that up. So we can hear God's word without actually receiving it. With that being the case, I want to take some time to make sure that we're becoming "here I am" believers who respect God's word and also receive God's word. Now, but this is our goal. Let's consider three conditions that help Samuel to end up receiving the word of God. And the first condition, well, it was based on the atmosphere of the room and the stillness of Samuel's mind. Notice again there in verse 2. There we learn that the word of the Lord came to Samuel while Eli was lying down in his place and when his eyes had begun to grow so dim that he could not see. Now from this, we see that this word from God, it came when it was bedtime, and what that means is that the house of the high priest was quiet. Everybody was chilling, everybody was relaxing. You know, there wasn't a whole lot of stuff going on. Not only that, but there in verse 3, we discover that the Lord spoke to Samuel just before the lamp of God went out in the tabernacle of the Lord. And this happened while Samuel was lying down. So we see then that Samuel, he received the word of God as he was lying there still in a silent place. And from this, I'd like to suggest that there are many Christians who are unable to receive God's word simply because we don't slow down long enough to be able to read his word in a still and a silent place. We don't turn off the television. We don't turn off the music. We don't establish boundaries with our children to say, "Hey, this is quiet time. This is time when we're going to spend reading the word of God." And so we need to still everything. We need to silence everything. Or times when we come to church and there's so much going on in our head that we don't discipline ourselves enough to say, "No, I'm going to push this out of my mind long enough to sit here and hear what God has to say and receive it." Even right now, some of you guys don't even know what I just said. We're not disciplining ourselves to silence the world long enough to hear what God is telling us. And so we need to spend some quiet time with God each and every day. If you really want to become a "here I am" believer, then I encourage you, find a quiet place where you can sit still and read the Word of God and receive the instructions that are found in the Bible. And if you're saying, well, my day's too busy for that, then we go back to the respect issue. You have no respect for God's Word then. Is it not worth it to wake up 30 minutes earlier to find that still, silent time to read God's Word? If not, then you have no respect for God's Word. But I encourage you to have that respect for God's Word. Set aside that time in your day so that you can sit still and listen and receive what God is telling you. And show up to church. Don't be frazzled coming in late trying to, because you didn't get your day organized. Organize it. Discipline yourself. Get here on time. Worship the Lord with the songs. And during that time, you get to still your mind and prepare your heart to listen to what the Lord is saying through His Word. If you really want to become a Here I Am believer, then I encourage you. Follow this first condition found here in this text by stilling your mind and listening. And while the first condition is based on the importance of finding a quiet place to sit and listen to God's Word, the second condition for receiving God's Word, well, it's based on the importance of seeking confirmation from spiritual leaders. With this in mind, look again there at verse 8. There we find the Lord calling Samuel again the third time. So he arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you did call me." Then Eli perceived that the Lord had called the boy. Now, from this, we see that Samuel was having a hard time grasping what was going on. And it was a difficult thing to grasp here. It took Eli three times to figure it out. But eventually, Eli, this man who had some years on Samuel, this man who had been a spiritual leader in Israel for several years, he came to the proper conclusion that it was the Lord who was calling Samuel. Eli was able to understand something that Samuel was failing to grasp. And there in verse 9, we find Eli directing Samuel to go lie down and wait for the calling of the Lord. Then having received this confirmation from Eli, Samuel, he returned to his room where he waited for the calling of the Lord. And from this, I'd like to suggest that there are times when we're reading God's Word and we think that the Lord is telling us to do something, like maybe put on a leotard and a pink tutu and go to Bungie's house, jumping on a pogo stick. I'm here to tell you that is not God's will for you. No, seriously, it's not. Just in case you're wondering. We have to understand something, that just because we think that we're hearing from God doesn't mean we are. It's real easy to take our own opinions and tack the name of God onto them. Well, God told me to do this. God told me to do that. Oh, and there was all this confirmation. Lord, if you want me to do this, help me to see nothing but Texas license plates on the way home. Oh, there's confirmation everywhere I look. Be careful. Sometimes we need to go sit with a seasoned spiritual leader and say, hey, this is what I'm thinking God is telling me. What do you think? We need to sit with those who have been serving the Lord for several seasons of their life. They've seen things come and go. They've seen people step out and fail. They've seen the Lord work in people's lives. Because a lot of times, those of us who have been in ministry for a while, we see patterns. And we see the way that the Lord works. And we know what God's Word says. And much like Samuel, who went to Eli, we all need to find spiritual leaders who can say, hey, look, this is what God's Word says. Yeah, that sounds like the Lord, or no, that doesn't sound like the Lord. So we need a quiet place where we can hear and receive God's instructions, and we need confirmation from spiritual leaders who can help us to discern between what is God's will and what is our flesh. These are important conditions for receiving God's word. But we also must recognize the importance of receiving God's word with all submissiveness. And with this in mind, look with me there at verse 9, because there Eli said to Samuel, "Go, lie down, and it shall be, if he calls you, that you must say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant hears.'" Or in other words, Eli was instructing Samuel to present himself as this submissive servant before the Lord. I truly believe that the Lord knows our hearts. I'm sure you believe that too. But when we come to the Lord and say, "Lord, I'm willing to do whatever you tell me, so long as it lines up with what I want," he's going to go and talk to somebody else who actually is submissive. So be careful. Be careful, because if you don't have a submissive heart before the Lord, then why is he going to ask you to do anything for him? If you're just not a "here I am, use me however you want, God" type of Christian, you better believe that the Lord is going to go find that believer who does say, "Here I am. I'll do whatever you want." From this, we must understand that those who really want to receive God's word, we must be ready to submit to God's word. Those who really want to become "here I am" believers, we must read the Bible with a servant's heart so that we can receive God's instructions with all submissiveness. Well, this brings us to our third point, because listen, "here I am" believers not only respect God's word, and we not only receive the instructions of God's word, but "here I am" believers also respond to God's word with submissive obedience. With that, let's turn back to 1 Samuel chapter 3. I want to begin reading there at verse 10, because there we learn that the Lord came and stood and called, as at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel answered, "Speak, for your servant hears." Then the Lord said to Samuel, "Behold, I will do something in Israel at which both ears of everyone who hears it will tingle. In that day I will perform against Eli all that I have spoken concerning his house from beginning to end. For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knows, because his sons made themselves vile, and he did not restrain them. Therefore I have sworn to the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be atoned for by sacrifice or offering forever." Now here in these verses we find the Lord, he's speaking to the submissive servant Samuel. And Samuel's saying, "Hey, here I am. Whatever you want, I'm ready to do it." I'm guessing that Samuel wanted to hear something good. I'm guessing he's thinking, "Oh man, the Lord's here. He's going to tell me something good." Don't we love it when the Lord shows up and says, "I'm going to make you healthy and wealthy, and I'm going to give you everything you ever wanted." "Yes, Lord. Sounds good. Here I am. Send me." We love it when the Lord shows up and tells us how we can have our best life now. And yet, many times, what the Lord has to say is not exciting. It's not happy, happy, happy. But it's sometimes a bit of a bummer. Rather than telling Samuel how he could have his best life now, the word of the Lord was actually pointing to punishment, and it was pointing to this punishment that he was about to pour out upon the house of Eli. Now, with this in mind, I want to back up just before the text that we dug into tonight. Look there at 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 31. There we find the Lord telling Eli that the days were coming when he would cut off his arm and the arm of his father's house, so that there will not be an old man in his house. You see, Eli failed to constrain his sons. His sons had lived in sin, and they abused the position that they had there at the tabernacle. And because Eli failed to punish them, and because Eli failed to constrain them, the Lord was going to punish him and his entire household. This should be a message to every parent here this evening. The Lord holds parents responsible for a failure to discipline. But this message to Samuel, this young boy, this young child was being told to go and confirm the rebuke that God had personally given to Eli. That was his ministry. That was his mission at this point in time. To go before this man who was raising him and say, hey, by the way, God's going to punish you and your entire family. That's what Samuel was being called to do. Now, as we consider this prophecy of impending judgment, we should take some time to consider how Samuel responded to the prophetic word of God. If you would look with me beginning there at verse 15, because there we learn that Samuel lay down until morning and opened the doors of the house of the Lord, and Samuel was afraid to tell Eli the vision. It says nothing about him falling back asleep, does it? I'm guessing that he didn't sleep at all. He probably just laid there struggling with what God told him to do. Verse 16, then Eli called Samuel and said, Samuel, my son. He answered, here I am. And he said, what is the word that the Lord spoke to you? Please do not hide it from me. God do so to you and more also, if you hide anything from me of all the things that he said to you. And Samuel told him everything and hid nothing from him. And he said, it is the Lord. Let him do what seems good to him. Now here in this text we find Samuel. He's afraid to tell Eli what the Lord told him, which leads me to believe that he believed God. He believed God. And because he believed God, because he knew that this was a prophetic statement of impending judgment on the house of Eli, that he was afraid. He was afraid to tell Eli what was up. Samuel was certain that the word of God was going to come to pass, and therefore he believed that the promised punishment to the Lord was certainly going to come upon Eli, and as a result, he was afraid to tell Eli what the Lord had said, which tells me that Samuel, he had received the word of God. He was just having a hard time responding in obedience. Another evidence of Samuel's reception of God's word, well, it can be seen in the fact that Samuel quickly obeyed the Lord as soon as Eli presented a curse on Samuel. Notice again there in the second half of verse 17, Eli declares, please do not hide it from me. God do so to you and more also. If you hide anything from me of all the things that he said to you. Now you better believe that if Samuel really didn't believe that God was going to do this thing to Eli's household, that he'd be like, no big deal. Don't really believe that God's going to do this to Eli, therefore this curse from Eli, it means nothing. But after considering these consequences that came from the lips of Eli, Samuel quickly decided to tell him everything, and he hid nothing because he didn't want this punishment to fall on his household. Further evidence that he believed the Lord. He respected God's word. He received God's word. And then he responded to God's word with obedience, and he told Eli everything that the Lord told him. It's in this way that Samuel became a here I am believer. He became a here I am believer by proclaiming the word of God to Eli. And in order to understand how we too should follow in Samuel's footsteps, if you would turn with me to James chapter 1. You see, it's in James chapter 1 where we find James, he's defining the difference between a here I am believer and a believer who says, I'd rather not. And I'm here to tell you that the church is filled with both. There are here I am believers, and there are maybe later believers. And what it looks like to me, just from my point of view, looks like there's a whole lot less here I am believers than there are maybe later believers. It's sad to say that those who hear God's word and then fail to obey God's word, they're really just hurting themselves. The church is impacted by it. But the Lord knows how to work around disobedient believers. But those believers who hear God's word and refuse to respond in obedience, James tells us that they're deceiving themselves. As a matter of fact, look with me here at James chapter 1, beginning at verse 21. There James encourages us to lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror, for he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. Now here in these verses we learn that those who hear God's word but then fail to align their lives accordingly, they're actually deceiving themselves by refusing to respond in obedience to the instructions that are found in God's word. Therefore, the Christian who refuses to obey the instructions of God's word, they're failing to become here I am believers, but they're actually deceiving themselves into thinking that they're okay. Well, God understands. They're deceiving themselves into thinking that, well, this doesn't really apply to me. This might apply to somebody else who's called to do God's ministry, but it doesn't apply to me. They're deceiving themselves. And listen, if you've deceived yourself, that's a very scary thing. And the reason why is this. If you've deceived yourself, how will you know? Self-deception is one of the trickiest things to deal with. Because the person who deceives themselves typically won't allow anybody to tell them that they've deceived themselves. Because they think they're okay. Self-deception is a very scary thing. And the only way that we can escape self-deception is by allowing someone else to come along and say, hey, you're deceiving yourself. Because if we don't allow someone to tell us that we've deceived ourselves, then we just continue in self-deception. And this is what the Word of God is for, to tell us when we've deceived ourselves. But what that means is that we have to come and we have to respectfully read God's Word, and then we have to receive God's Word, and then we have to respond to God's Word with obedience so that we say, you know what, I thought this one way, but the Word of God tells me something different. Which should I listen to, me or the Word of God? Well, if you don't want to live in self-deception, listen to the Word of God. And then do what it says. Because if you think that you can read God's Word and have a contrary opinion to what it says and be fine, you're deceived. And you've only deceived yourself. On the other hand, those of us who, like Samuel, will read God's word with respect and receive God's word and then respond in obedience, James tells us that the Lord is going to bless us in everything that we do. I like that. The Lord is going to bless us in everything that we do. This doesn't mean that there's not going to be difficult times to obey God's word. There's certainly going to be difficult times. To walk in obedience with God's word is not the easy path. It's the narrow path. And it's difficult. And we lose friends along that path. And we give up things that we like along that path. And we get challenged on that path, and God turns up the heat on that path and burns off the dross on that path. Now, I'm not suggesting this path is fun. But what I am telling you is that God will bless it every single time. He'll bless it as we respect His Word and receive His Word and respond to His Word with submissive obedience. And so my challenge for each of us tonight is to become "Here I Am" believers. And as we consider the way that Samuel became a "Here I Am" believer by respecting and receiving and responding to God's Word with submissive obedience, I want to spend the final moments of this study time by searching our own hearts, because I'd like to ask ourselves this evening, self, am I becoming a "Here I Am" believer by respecting God's Word in the way that I should? Or is the Word of God more like a rare gem which is rarely found in the soil of my heart? We should ask ourselves, self, am I becoming a "Here I Am" believer by reading and receiving the truths of God's Word? Or am I just really doing whatever feels right to me and then just calling it the will of God? Finally, we should ask ourselves, self, am I becoming a "Here I Am" believer by responding to the instructions of God's Word with submissive obedience? Or am I really just deceiving myself by rejecting the clear instructions that are found in the Holy Word of God? As we ponder these questions in our own heart, I want to conclude this study by encouraging you, follow in the footsteps of Samuel. Become a "Here I Am" believer who respects, receives, and responds to the instructions of God's Word with reverential fear and righteous obedience. And as you respond to the Lord's calling with submissive obedience, you'll discover how God blesses those who happily say, "Here I am, Lord, send me." Let's pray.